Good morning. It's going to be a good day, don't you think? Yeah, I think it's going to be a good day. Hey, kids, you are dismissed. You can head off. It's going to be a good day for kids. Have a good time. Head out that way. I love when they run for the door. See ya. I'm out of here. Hey, I came across this on social media. I wanted to share it with you this morning. Take a look at this.
Bro, what do these chords make you think of?
Good day.
Good day? I see that. What are three words that have to do with a good day to you?
Sun.
Sun.
Birds.
Birds, I hear that.
God.
God. Love it. Let's see what I can do. Hey. I'm about to have a good day. No matter what they say. Sun is shining down on me. Birds are singing praise. I'm about to have a good day. In every single way. The God who made the universe knows me by my name. So it's a good day.
I'm about to have a good day. Are you guys ready to have a good day? How many people here, when you watch musically inclined people, you are just blown away by them? Right? Like, I don't understand how they do it. They take these musical gifts and they combine them in such a way. They take, this guy just takes a couple of chords and a couple of random words and he creates something, a melody line, right? And suddenly he's got something that music can move us in ways that only music can, right? But here's the thing you need when it's music. You need a rhythm. You got to have an underlying beat, a bass line. I was just watching these guys this morning as Grant was going on the drums and the bass. How many people know the bass player is always the coolest looking guy on stage? You know that? He's just feeling it, right? You got to have that. It holds it all together. You can have melody. You can have harmonies. You can have verses. And do you know how many things there are in music? You got verses and choruses and the bridge. Why is it called? Where's Ian? Why is it called the bridge? Does anyone know why? No? I don't know. Or how about this? The refrain. Do you know what the refrain is? In our world, refrain means don't do that. In music, refrain means do it again, do it again, do it again. That's what it means. And the funny thing is all those things come together to produce a song, right? But it's all held together by the rhythm. And so we're starting a new series here today called Rhythms. And what I want to convince you of is that our lives are kind of held together by rhythms too. The rhythms our lives are held together by are the things that we do repeatedly, right? We anchor to these things. We get up at the same time. How many people get up at the same time pretty much every day? How many people get up at 6 a.m.? How many people get up before 6 a.m.? How many people get up before 5 a.m.? Do you pray? Because you know Jesus isn't awake at that time, just so you know. Like, we do these things over and over. That might have been heretical, I don't know, but we do these things over and over again. We have a morning routine that we go through, and we do these certain things in the morning. We eat. Some of us eat the same thing every day, right? We have various things that we eat, but we kind of stick to a routine to them. You got routines at work. You got routines at home. You go to the same place to buy groceries, yes? And you buy the same grocery items, and you don't know why. You're like, why do you buy those tortillas? You're like, I don't know. We've always bought those tortillas. So you have these rhythms in your life that kind of define you in some ways. And that's true for us spiritually too. We settle into these routines or rhythms for our spiritual lives. Like you come to the 11 o'clock service, right? And you mostly sit in the same place. Like we sit eight back and in about three. You people all know each other, don't you? Because you sat together all the time, don't you? We sit in the balcony and we're up a little bit. There's a balcony. I don't know why somebody's raising the roof up there. Woo, woo. But you know each other because this is where we always sit, right? You go through these rhythms and these routines. Maybe it's Wednesday night where you come here for, you know, kids and community groups and Bible studies or you're involved in a community group. You have these routines. Well, here's the thing. If spiritually your life right now is not satisfying, like you need something more, like you feel like people are talking about God in a way that you don't have, you have got to change some of the rhythms of your spiritual life if you want to see that. You got to change those rhythms. So what we call rhythms are really spiritual disciplines. That's sort of the point of this. Spiritual disciplines are the things that we do in our lives that kind of bring us closer to God. These are things like scripture reading and meditation. Prayer is a rhythm in our lives, right? Fasting. People who fast from food or from something else in order to get closer to God. Silence and solitude are rhythms that we saw Jesus do. There's all kinds of these spiritual rhythms that we want to get into. Sabbath and rest, where we take a rest from these things. But the initial question we wanted to answer today, as Glenn and I were talking about this, is how do I change? I mean, if I've been living the way I've been living in the rhythms I've always been in, how do I change those rhythms? So this morning I want to address, how do you change? It's sort of a root question to this. Changing is actually pretty simple. The problem is that we don't like to do it, and we don't do it very often or very well. And so this morning we are going to look at what it takes to change. So get your pens out. There's a lot of fill in the blanks today. Roll with me, stay with me, and let's jump right into it this morning. This is what change looks like. Ready? Thoughts become words. Words become actions. Actions become habits, and habits become your character. Okay, go ahead, take down that slide. Let's go to the next one. All the people who have got to get, no, we'll do it again. Here we go. Thoughts become what? Words, and words become what? Actions, and actions become what? Habits, and habits become your character. So I want to start with what you think, because there's a very real truth about the things that you think in your mind and in your head, and it's this. What you think you are. What you think you are. Let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says this. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God what? Transform you. That's change. Let God transform you into a what? New person by changing the way you, it starts with the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is a what? Good. And what else? And what else? It's good and pleasing and perfect, right? When you think about the things that you think about all day long, like the things that consume our mind become the things that we actually are. Like our life will always move in the direction of the things that we think about the most. Let me tell you this. This is really true. If you think you can't, you probably won't. If you think you can, honestly, you probably will. If you dwell on your problems, they will overwhelm you. But if you're looking for opportunities, you will start to see some. If you always feel like a victim, there's a chance you may just slide into that. But if you believe you can overcome your circumstances and you think that way, you probably can overcome them. It's like those people who are worried all the time. Anybody know somebody that's worried all the time? When you're worried all the time, right, that just tends to overwhelm you. You're worried about your kids. You're worried about your health. You're worried about your job. You're worried about the future, right? The opposite of that is, are you secure in God's word? Are you secure in God's promises? Like, do you internalize that and think about that? And you know you can trust God for the future because you've seen him show up so often in the past. Do you go to sleep at night feeling peaceful because really that's what you think about? Are you negative most of the time? Anybody here negative? Know somebody negative. Negative Nancy? Negative like, I don't want to be around you negative. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Negative people, when they think about that, when they dwell on that all the time, you're negative about other people, you're negative about yourself, you're negative about any situation, right? You generally are discontent, but if you are positive, if you start to just think positively about things, you tend to believe the best in people. You tend to just take people at their word and believe the best in them. You generally believe life is good, and you generally get more optimistic about your future, and you tend to say, today is going to be a good day. Right? I knew a guy who every time I would ask him, I would walk up to him and I'd say, hey, how you doing today? And his answer would be, hey, if I were any better, there'd need to be two of me. Now, here's the thing. That can't be true every day. But if you say it every day, if that's your answer every single time, I guarantee you, you are more often better than you are worse because you've got your mind trained that way. You know, the same is true. Are your thoughts really rooted in this world and all the things of this life? Like, are you just thinking about material things? And are you concerned with how people think about you rather than just doing what you know is right? Or are you focused on eternal? Are you focused on the things that make a difference in other people's lives? Are you focused on serving God? Are you focused on being generous with these material things that honestly we are not going to have for long in this life? Are you focused on reaching people for Jesus? Is that your thought process? Because when you think about things repeatedly, if you want to change the way you're living, you've got to change the way you think. It starts with the way you think. In fact, let me put it to you this way. If you want to change, you need to fix your thoughts on spiritual things. If you want to change, you need to fix your thoughts on spiritual things. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says this. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. What are we supposed to do? Fix your thoughts on what is what? True. And what else? And what else? And what else? And think about the things that are what? Excellent and worthy of praise. Focus your thoughts on that on those things. You ever notice, anybody here ever been searching, you're going to buy a new car and you're looking at a specific make and model, and then when you're driving around town, you just see that car everywhere? You're like, oh, look, there's one. Just because you've been thinking about that car and you start to see it everywhere. Or ladies, have you ever thought about getting a different hairstyle? And you're thinking about it and you're thinking, should I get it layered? Should I get highlights? Should I get lowlights? Should I get bangs? Should I have, you know what I'm talking about, ladies? And then you're walking around and everywhere you go, you're like, oh, I like her hair and her hair looks like that. And her hair likes that. I mean, it doesn't matter what you do, because when you get home from the hair salon, you're still going to look in the mirror and go, I'm not sure I like it. Right? But you see that everywhere you go. You just, it pops out at you, right? And the same is true with the things that we put into our mind. Listen, if you are spending all day listening to profanity-laced music, do not be surprised if the next time you stub your toe, you cry out, son of a motherless goat. You know, you say something that you were like, oh yeah, I shouldn't have said that. It's because you've been filling your mind with it. We didn't let our kids watch horror movies while they were growing up, because if kids watch horror movies, what happens? They start thinking about that stuff, and then they end up in mom and dad's bed that night, and that ruins mommy and daddy time. Does anybody know what I'm talking about here? Yeah. So that was, we don't allow that stuff, right? It's not good. If you spend all day, every day, watching political TV news, you are going to believe that the world is a bad place and the wheels are coming off. You're going to think that all the time. And you're going to blame that other political party, whoever they are. But your mind is tuned into that and thinking that all the time. So you're going to find it wherever you look. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, let me give you an example. My wife loves to watch these detective crime TV shows. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Detective crime TV shows, that she'll watch these shows over and over and over again. And the ones that she really likes are the ones about serial murderers, and she's watching this show over and over and over again. So the other night when I came into the bedroom wearing a full ski mask with a tire iron, she immediately thought I was going to kill her. The truth is, whatever you focus your mind on, over, I love you, baby, you know that. I didn't even ask her permission for that one. All right. Whatever you focus your mind on, you're going to start to find that. You're going to see it. If you focus your mind on destructive thoughts, you're going to start to see destructive things in your life. If you focus your mind on spiritual things, you are going to see God in your life. And so the process of creating these spiritual disciplines is that we make sure to focus our minds on these things that God would have for us. If you're looking for God to show up in your day, if you're always looking for that, he shows up over and over again. If you are praying for something and you are thinking, I can't wait to see how God answers this, you will see God answer that prayer. You just begin to see it because you're looking for it. People call it coincidence. I call it God showing up. But the reason I knew God showed up is because I was thinking about it, because I was looking for it, and I saw it as a result of that. But then you got to change those thoughts, and we've got to have our thoughts become words. Our thoughts become words is the next step of change, right? These thoughts have to become words. In Proverbs chapter 18, verses, this is 4 and then 6 and 7, it says, wise words are like what? Deep waters. Wisdom flows from the wise like a bubbling brook. Those words flow out of our thoughts. A fool's words get them into constant quarrels. They are what? I just love that verse. They are asking for a beating. You are asking for a beating. Nobody quote that with your kids tonight, okay? The mouths of fools are their ruin. They trap themselves with their lips. See, thoughts, a lot of times we can have positive thoughts or spiritual thoughts, but if we lock them into our head, it doesn't do any good. And you've got to open your mouth and begin to talk about those things, right? You can, I mean, foolish thoughts ask for a beating, but spiritual thoughts bring life. In fact, there's another verse in Proverbs 18 that says, the tongue can bring death or life. And so when we speak, you can either speak death or you can speak life into somebody else. Every word we speak could speak death or it can speak life to someone else. And the small things like the words we speak can change a conversation from good to bad, from bad to good. And they can change the way that people actually perceive themselves. But what I want you to understand is the words that you speak can actually change you. If you'll speak some of these words, some of these thoughts, these spiritual truths, you can not only, I want you to speak life into other people. I want you to encourage other people. But those words can actually begin to change you from the inside out. If you will say out loud the things that you need to improve your life, some of these spiritual disciplines are going to lead that to you. You could start by changing your thoughts, but then you've got to grab a hold of those thoughts and you've got to begin to speak life into that. In fact, let me say it to this way. If you want to change, you need to say it out loud. Say it out loud. I want to change. Some of you will say it. I want to change. Say it out loud. I want to change. I want a richer, fuller spiritual life. I want to change, right? That's what we do. And so we say these things out loud. And the reason we say them out loud is so that we can get some accountability and some buyback into them. If I say, Glenn, man, I really want to start getting up a half hour earlier, and I'm going to start praying for this, this, and this. You know what Glenn will start doing? He'll start asking me, Steve, did you get up this morning? Hey, did you pray for that thing? What's God doing in that situation you've been praying for? When you speak it out loud, it gives life to it. And people around you will begin to ask about it, and it will actually help you begin to follow through. Psalm 19 says it this way. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be what? May it be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. May my thoughts and what I speak be pleasing to you, God. Now, at some point, you have to change all of that thinking and even the words into something more, right? You have to turn them into actions. Now, get this. Actions are cheap. Actions are actually cheap if you do it just once or once in a while. It's really cheap to do that. What we need is our actions to become habits. We need these actions to become habits. And this is the spiritual disciplines part of all of this. The things that we are going to encourage you to be a part of. Now, habits sort of has a negative connotation for it. I got a bad habit. I crack my knuckles. I got a bad habit. I all those things that you do that are bad habits. And so when I think of habits, I don't want that. But disciplines, when you hear the word disciplines, I mean, disciplined people have it all together. How many people here would say you are a disciplined person? Disciplined person. Oh, look at a few. How many of you would say you are highly disciplined? Liars. I mean, that's good for you. I'm glad that you can go outside and grab some coffee if you want. The rest isn't for you. But the rest of us are trying to figure out this discipline thing. And when I think about disciplines, it makes me think of the Olympics. How many people know the Olympics are coming this summer? I am a sports guy. I love sports. Our video's not working. There it goes. The Olympics are coming this summer. I'm a sports guy. I love basketball and football. That's what I love. And so when we get to summer, I go into a sports wasteland. How many people are baseball fans? I don't know what's wrong with you, but it's okay. I'm all in on the Giants or the A's. If they're winning at the end of the season, I just can't do it all season long. But once every 4 years, I get this gift. It is the Summer Olympics. And there are all kinds of events, and there are all kinds of... You can watch the Olympics at 9 a.m., noon, 3 p.m. You can watch it at 3 a.m. if you find the right channel, and you can be watching the Olympics, right? And the thing that we never consider about the Olympics is these competitors, the people who are getting ready for the Olympics. Right now, today, this morning, they woke up and they went to work out. Every day they get up and they think to myself, what am I going to do today to make me a better competitor? What am I going to do today to get ready for that moment? What am I going to do today so that I am ready to compete at the highest level? They are highly disciplined. They do that every single day. What kind of discipline does it take to get up in the morning in January and to get into a swimming pool and work out for 5 or 6 hours? What kind of discipline does that take? And here's the interesting thing. It's not just the people who do it who are going to stand on the medal stand. Right now, this morning, there is some guy from Burundi who is working out to compete in swimming, and he doesn't stand a chance. He probably won't make it out of the qualifying round, but he's still up every morning disciplining his body so that he can compete at the highest level. What kind of discipline is that, right? It's crazy. What kind of discipline does it take to be that kind of guy? Here's the thing. If you want something different, if you want results in your life, you have to be disciplined. And the trick is to be disciplined at these things that bring the results that we really want in life. And it is not easy to be disciplined. Everybody say, not easy. It is. Can I get an amen out of anyone? It is not easy to be disciplined. Not at all. But I want you to see that when we're disciplined, these things that are so hard bring life. Take a look at this. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says, no discipline is what? It is not enjoyable while it is happening. It is, it's painful. But afterward, there will be a what? A peaceful harvest of what? Right living for those who are trained in this way. And so here's the truth. The truth about discipline is this. We are what we repeatedly do. We are what we repeatedly do. Over and over again, that's who we turn out to be. And the Bible reassures us of consequences for the way that we behave. Look at Proverbs chapter 20, verse 13 says this. If you what? Love sleep, 11 a.m. service. If you love sleep, you will what? End in poverty. Keep your eyes open and there will be... You get up early and do your thing. Proverbs 28, it says this. A what? Hard worker has what? Plenty of food, but a person who chases fantasies ends up in poverty. There are behaviors and disciplines that lead to certain things. Proverbs 21:20 says this. The wise have what? And what else? But fools, what do? Put it on MasterCard, right? They spend whatever they get and even beyond. And so we see that we are what we repeatedly do. And so here's the truth about it. Ready? Discipline is choosing between what you want now and what you want most. Because everybody wants to sleep in. It's what you want now and what you want most. Now, let me just be honest with you. Most of you are successful in some area of your life. You've been successful in whatever area of your life. If you are successful, it is because you have adhered to some disciplines in your life. If you have a successful marriage, it's probably because you do things consistently to make your marriage successful. You have a date night. You have communication patterns that actually work and get things resolved between the two of you, right? You spend time together, you know, real time together. You pray together about certain things. That gives you a strong marriage and a successful marriage. If you have a successful family, it's probably because you prioritize that. You do some things consistently. You eat together regularly. You tell everybody, put your devices down or in a basket, and you have real conversations. You plan family trips where you all go places together and you build memories and you're disciplined about it, right? If you're successful at school, it's because you have learned. I got to do my homework. I got to get my assignments in on time. I have got to study for tests, and you have found the ways to do that, and you're disciplined at it. That's how you get good grades, right? If you're successful at work, it's the same thing. You know, I show up on time. I'm prepared. I meet my deadlines for work and projects, and you get that stuff done, and you're successful at work because of it. If you're successful financially, it's because you put some disciplines in your life. You work hard and you make money. You live on less than you make, and you live on a budget, and you invest, and you're generous with some of your money, and you begin to see how God is blessing those good financial disciplines. But if you're struggling in some area of your life, even one of those, it's probably because you aren't doing the right disciplines. You aren't living by those disciplines that yield that. You maybe have some right disciplines in some areas of your life, but not in other areas of life, and you need the right disciplines. Proverbs 25:28 says this: a person without what? Self-control is like a city with broken down walls. Now, many of us are trying to be disciplined. Raise your hand if you have tried to be disciplined in your life, right? And we are trying to have that self-control, right? I mean, we see this every year in January. How many people thought, I'm going to get healthy this year? I'm going to work out this year. I'm asking in April when it's already over for you, right? I mean, you got up on that first day in January and you thought, this is it. I'm going to the gym. And you get into the gym and you get a good workout. You get a sweat on. You walk out. You're like, oh, yeah, I can feel it. That's good. That's good. Tuesday, you get up and you go to the gym and you're working out and you're thinking, yeah, I could do this. I could do this. By the way, gym's crowded beyond belief, right? And so you're doing that. Wednesday, you get up and you're working out and you're like, I feel good. I feel good. And then on Thursday morning, you get up and you're like, oh, I think I pulled something in my shoulder. Well, it won't hurt to just miss one day. This will be a rest day for me, I guess. And then on Friday, you wake up a little late and you're like, well, I mean, my shoulder still needs to heal. And then on Saturday, you're like, well, it's a weekend. I mean, nobody works out on the weekend, right? And then by the next Monday, you are done. You have given it up. And by the way, how many of you are still paying for that gym membership right now? Right? You know what I'm talking about. And the truth of the matter is we are so inconsistent. And we don't see results in our lives because these disciplines that we know are good for us, we're just so inconsistent. And I am just like you. I am just like you. We are inconsistent. We keep falling back into those same rhythms and ruts and routines and bad habits I've always had. And so we ask the question, God, why am I so inconsistent? Why am I so inconsistent at these things that I know will bring good results? Well, I take comfort in the fact that the Apostle Paul asked the same things, and he struggled with the same stuff. Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 7. Many of you have heard this passage before. Paul says, I really don't understand myself. Anybody else? Like, why do I do what I do? For I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I am doing is what? Wrong. This shows that I agree that the law is good. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me. That is in my sinful nature. Here's where we start to see it real clear. I want to do what is right, but I can't. Why don't I do it? I want to do what is what? Good, but I what? I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. You hear that tension between what he knows he should do and what he's doing anyway. By nature, we're not self-disciplined. We're just not self-disciplined by nature. We are bent towards sin. We are bent towards selfishness. And it carries us towards what is wrong instead of what is right. And we want to do what's right, but our sin and our selfishness lures us away to the things that are wrong. In fact, Romans, just a few verses later, says this. Oh, what a what? Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God the answer is in who? The answer is in a who, not a what. Jesus Christ, our Lord. You see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law. But because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. Now, I don't want you to miss this. I really don't want you to miss this. This is an important point. The only thing that can help me move away from my sin nature, from my selfishness, is Jesus. It isn't the disciplines. The disciplines are a tool to get closer to Jesus. Jesus is the answer to this. The answer is a person. It's Jesus, right? Listen, I don't want you to walk away from here going, well, that was a nice little self-help sermon, Steve. Think good thoughts, say good words, do good things, and you'll be good. That's not the answer. That is not at all what I'm selling today. What I'm telling you is that Jesus is the answer to those things. And these spiritual disciplines are meant to draw us into a closer relationship with Jesus, who is the one who can free us from all this. These disciplines will make you honor Jesus. And when Jesus is a part of your life, he will make you successful. But we do these things as we surrender them to Jesus. Listen, we are never going to be self-disciplined. At some point, the wheels are going to come off of that. We want to be disciplined to the Spirit of God that lives within us. We want to be disciplined to walk with God. So the question is how do we do that? And let me tell you this. If you want to change, you got to start training to win. If you want to change, you got to start training to win. Every Olympic athlete at some point in their life wakes up and goes, I want to be an Olympic athlete, and tomorrow I'm going to buy a luge or something like that, you know? And so they decide that they're going to do that. And I read this, there's a passage in Corinthians here that Paul wrote to Corinthians. Corinth would have known about this. He was writing about something called the Isthmian Games, which was a little bit like the Olympics for them. And you represented your community, and if you won, it was a huge source of pride. Listen to what he talks about when he talks about it in 1 Corinthians 9. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone what? Runs, but only one person what? Gets the prize. So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They're disciplined. There's that word. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for what? An eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I what? I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. And we see those words, disciplined and disciplined. We run to win. We don't run to place. We aren't running for third place. We're running to win. In fact, the Isthmian Games, this is kind of interesting, they would train for 10 months to be in the Isthmian Games. For 10 months, they would go to a place called the gymnasium. That's actually where we get that word. It was a prominent architectural place in their society. And they would go there and they would train. They would have a strict diet, right? No junk food, no alcohol. And they would train all the time. And for 10 months, they would expose their body to both heat and cold, right? The cold months and the hot months. And they were training to win. In fact, when they would run, they would actually run so fast that they would begin to strip their clothes off and run naked. That was a part of their training process, that no clothing would keep them from running as fast as they can. How many people are thankful for spandex right now when you're watching the Olympics? I'm just thankful for that, right? But that's what they would do. And so, listen, in fact, in Hebrews, we sort of see that the author of Hebrews talks about it in chapter 12, verse 1. It says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. And that's what they were talking about, stripping everything off, right? They would slow them down. They would run naked. And then up in verse 25 of Corinthians, it says they won a prize. You know what their prize was? It was a wreath of leaves. That's what they won. No gold medal, just a wreath of leaves. But honestly, they were running for that prize. And we are running for an eternal prize. We're running for this eternal prize that we get to train to stand up with God, in front of God, and bring glory to his name. And the Spirit helps us overcome that sin that so easily entangles us. And so I run with purpose in every step, and I discipline my body like an athlete. So the question is, how do we do that? What is that for you? How do you begin that process of change towards those spiritual disciplines? That you run in every step with purpose, and you're disciplined to run this race in front of you. There's a book out there. It's kind of an older book at this point. It's called The Power of Habit by a guy by the name of Charles Duhigg. And Charles talks about what he calls keystone habits. A keystone habit is something that you begin with, and they lead to other positive habits. You start with this habit, and that habit leads to other positive habits, and all of those habits eventually will change your life, right? If you compromise on the keystone habits, it can be a negative spiral. Let me give you an example. How many people here floss in the morning? You floss in the morning. How many people here know we should floss every morning? How many people here don't want to floss every morning? Flossing is disgusting. Would you agree with that? Like you're killing things out of your teeth and there's food and cheese and meat flying that God knows how long it's been there. And you're just rubbing away at it. Like flossing is, but we all know we should. I don't like to do it, but we know we should. So if you get up in the morning and the first thing you do is you floss in the morning, that is a habit that begins to lead to other things. When I do floss in the morning, I start to feel disciplined. And so I floss in the morning and then I get up and I think, you know what? I feel good. And so I decide I'm going to eat healthy and I get up and I make something with protein and I'm feeling healthy and I've eaten right. And then I think, you know what? I'm going to the gym. And so I end up going to the gym that morning and I work out and I get my workout on and then I walk out of the gym. How many people know when it's cold out and you've been at the gym and you walk out first thing in the morning and your breath is right there, but you feel all healthy and you're like, anybody know what I'm talking about? Right? Oh, you guys gave up your gym membership. I know. But you worked out and you feel good about yourself, right? And so then you go to work. Well, you know what? Actually, before you go to work, you think to yourself, you know what? I'm going to do my Bible study. And so you get on your YouVersion app and you start reading your Bible and you start feeling God's presence in your life and you start to think, wow, this is really great. God is with me. And then you go to work and you get to work. And when you get to work, you're feeling so good. You flossed, you ate right, you worked out, you've done your devotion and you get to work and you just start working and you're really productive. Like you're so productive today because everything's been put together right. And so you're working hard and you're productive, super productive, so productive that you get done early. And you're like, I'm going to go home early. And so you go home early and I walk in the door early and Nicole looks at me like, you're home early. And I go, I know. And I go, I love you. And she goes, I love you too. And then she decides she's going to make my favorite dinner. And then after dinner, my children circle around me and start to sing my praises. Do you want to know why all that happened? Because I flossed. Now, hypothetically, let's say I get up in the morning and I don't floss. And I'm headed into work and I know I should eat healthy, but whatever. And so I pull into the drive-thru lane at Carl's Jr. And at Carl's Jr., you know, they have the sausage biscuit with the egg and the cheese. And I'm like, I'll have one of those. And then the voice on the box says, you know, for a dollar more, you can have another one. And I think, well, I don't want to lose money on this deal, right? So I order two, and they hand me two. And then I'm driving away, and I'm eating two of these monster sausage biscuits, and I'm feeling weighted down, right? And I just feel terrible all day. And the next day, I get up, and I get up late because I'm just not feeling it, and I feel terrible. And so I get up late, and I'm like, I don't have time to read my Bible. I'm just gonna go to work, and I go to work, but instead of working and being productive, because all of my blood is, instead of flowing to my brain where it should be, it's going to my stomach to digest a gut bomb that I've had, and so I'm stuck at work, and I'm not getting anything done, and when I don't get anything done, I have to stay late at work, and so I stay late at work, and then I walk in late to the house, and Nicole says, where have you been? And then I walk back out, and I go, I'm gonna take a drive, and I get in my car, and I start driving around, but I'm going too fast. And the next thing you know, I've got lights in my rearview mirror, the cops, and I think, oh no, I can't get a ticket. And so I decide to run for it. And so I drive really fast. And as I'm driving through town, weaving in and out, eventually the helicopter catches up and the cops have a roadblock. And I finally stop and they put me on the ground and they arrest me. And do you know why all of that happened? Because I didn't floss. It's possible I exaggerated a little bit on that. But get this, God helps me to choose the things that are right for me again and again and again when I start the day with some spiritual disciplines that draw me closer to Him. You start to get this spiritual momentum in your life and you find that all the other things become easier and it can change your life. Which leads me to, so what, Steve? Let me ask you a question here. How are you feeling today? Are you feeling a little bit down? Because I want you to check this out.
I'm just feeling really down these days, and I don't know why. Have you exercised today? No. Did you go outside? No. Did you talk to anyone? No. Did you eat well? No. Did you limit your scrolling time? No. Did you make any plans? No. Did you drink enough water? No. Did you get enough sleep? No.
Anybody feel that way? Truth of the matter is, it's how are you feeling spiritually these days? Have you been to worship? No. Have you been reading the word? No. Have you been serving somewhere? Nope. You been generous? Nope. Been praying, talking with God? Nope. You been practicing Sabbath? Nope. Yeah, I can't figure out why you're not feeling so well these days, right? If you're spiritually dry, the answer is in some of these spiritual disciplines that will draw you closer to God. Because get this, habits become your character. These spiritual disciplines, when practiced well with the help of Jesus, they will begin to be your character. That's who you will become. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, "For God has not given us a spirit of what? Or what else? But of love." And what else? That's what he's put inside of us. So get this. Really, my whole thing today is I just want to convince you of something. If you want to change, you got to start now. If you want to change, you got to decide now that you want to change. My goal today was just to get you to realize that you need these spiritual disciplines in your life, because I just want to convince you that you can change. There is a path to change. If you're feeling spiritually empty, spiritually dry, there's a path to change. And you can come back and start to develop these disciplines. And the disciplines are not the goal. The disciplines are not the goal, but they are a tool that will bring these rhythms in your life that you can use for God and to bless others. And when you have these rhythms in your life, you will find that you are a more positive person. You will find that you are having more good days than bad days, and you can share those good days with others. Take a look at this.
Take a seat. Just put those on.
That's the goal, that these spiritual disciplines would create in us a person that is more spiritually alive, and we have more good days than bad days, and those good days leak out onto other people who are struggling, that we might be God's people, the blessing people we're called in Scripture. Can I just pray for you? Father God, as we walk out of here, God, I would pray that you would just convince those who need some convincing that their life is not set on a train track towards destruction, God, that they can change, that they can institute some disciplines in their life that will lead them back to you, to a walk that is closer with you day in and day out. God, would you birth that in our hearts and use spiritual disciplines to draw us into a deeper, more vibrant relationship with you, that we might be able to give out some good days to those that are struggling. We pray these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.